How are we doing, y'all? It's good to be back here. It's Ross here from Breaking Bread, and it's looking good out there. Till this morning, I want to again come with give you a different take on one of the miracles that Jesus worked in the Bible. But first, let me pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for each and every person who's listening. Lord, I pray that this message takes root in their hearts, that the seed is sown and starts to grow, not only to inspire or motivate them, but to transform them into everything you've created them to be. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So I want to turn to John chapter 11, and we're going to look at Lazarus. And the question I want you to ask yourself, how many are aware that God has not forgotten about you? That we pray our prayers and we might cry out and we think God has forgotten about us. But he hasn't. So I'm just going to, it's chapter 11 in the Gospel of John. I'm just going to pick a few pieces to read, and I'll fill it in as we go on. A man named Lazarus was sick. He lived in Bethany with his sisters, Mary and Martha. This is the Mary who later poured the expensive perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped them with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was sick, so the two sisters sent a message to Jesus telling him, "Lord, your dear friend is very sick." When Jesus heard about it, he said, "Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. No, it happened for the glory of God, so that the Son of God will reveal the glory from this." So although Jesus loved Martha, Mary and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days. Finally, he said to his disciples, "Let's go back to Judea." And I'm sure you're all familiar with the story and the miracle of Lazarus. So we skip forward to verse 40. Jesus responded, "Didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe?" So they rolled the stone aside. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, "Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me. But I said it out loud for the sake of all these people standing here, so that they will believe you sent me." Then Jesus shouted, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a headcloth. Jesus told him, "Unwrap him and let him go." Now, there's quite a lot, and I've skipped quite a bit of that, but you all know the story. And if you want to go and read it, go to John chapter 11. Take a moment and just read through the whole account of the raising of Lazarus. And I really want to bring it from the point is that to tell you that God has not forgotten about you. God is not done with you. And the other thing that's important to this, God will not be manipulated. What do I mean by that? What do you mean, Ross? God cannot and will not be manipulated. So let me explain. I was brought up in a little town called Donegal as a good Catholic boy, and I came to believe that faith was a way of controlling outcomes. There was a formula, or at least I thought there was a formula, to getting what I wanted from God. And it went, if you pray like this and do that, you can expect to get this. Yet we know that faith is not a means of manipulation. It's patience with mystery. And there's this one time when I was a kid, I must have been 8, 9, 10 years of age, and there's a competition back in the Ready Break box. And many of you grew up that during the summer and autumn, when you're going to school, you had Weetabix. But come the winter time, it was Ready Break. I don't know if you can even get Ready Break anymore. But at this particular time, there was a competition on the back of the Ready Break box where the prize was a Rally Mongoose BMX. And these bikes were coming into fashion. Everybody wanted a BMX. You know, those were the days there was no mobile phones, so you read the back of the cereal boxes. In fact, you couldn't wait for the cereal box to be empty so you could go and make a mask at Halloween with it, or you could do something with it. But I really wanted one of these Rally Mongoose bikes. They came after the Rally Chopper. That's for the older ones who are listening this morning. And you could do all the tricks. You could be the coolest boy in town with one of these bikes. So I filled out the form and I sent it off and I prayed and I prayed and I used the formula. I did all the good deeds I could and I went into church and I lit the candles. And I don't know how long I spent praying. I'm sure I was praying for nearly a year after the competition closed. I don't know how much of my pocket money, how many times I said, "Lord, I will put this in the money in the collection next week at church." And I kept on burning the candles. And I would never pass the church without popping in and lighting a candle. That's how much I really wanted to win this bike. But it was later that I learned that lighting a candle was saying, "Hey God, I don't have time to sit here and pray, but the length of time it takes this candle to burn is how long I would have prayed if I had time." So let me ask you, can you remember a time in your life when you asked or prayed to God for something or for a situation and he didn't answer according to your timetable? How are you with trusting God? Do you find it difficult to trust God's timing over your own? Or how do you feel when God doesn't do something when you want it, or the way you want it, or expected him to do it? How often do we go to God and we tell God, "Hey God, this is what I want, and this is the way you should do it"? Because if we're honest with ourselves, we all have that Lazarus within us. The part of your life where you thought God would do something, but he hasn't. That dream, that vision, that purpose, that one time you were so on fire for, and because God took his time, you got fed up waiting, and so you let it die. What is your Lazarus? What is that part of your life where you thought God would? You see, here's a moment in Scripture where they thought it was over, but God is not done. And here's a moment in Scripture where God delivers beyond all expectations. Jesus says, "I'll be there in 2 more days. Now, if you're like me, when I pray to Jesus, I want him to move. I want him to move now in my time. Jesus, why isn't it done? I've prayed to you, I've asked you, I've prayed those verses. If you ask in my name, you shall be given. Lord, I want it done now." And yet we see in this passage, when Jesus gets the message, he stays 2 more days. "Jesus, I'm in trouble. I've got some heartbreak in my life. I've got some circumstances I can't work out. It's a bad day, Jesus. And if you don't show up today, it's only going to get worse. Do you hear me, Jesus?" "Yeah, I know you hear me, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, because I know you're going to take care of it. You can be sure I will," Jesus says. "Just give me 2 more days. 2 more days, Jesus? Are you crazy?" And we pray again. And we sing the song and we shout out, "Jesus, you're the way maker. Jesus, healing Jesus. Storm calmer Jesus. Unconditional loving Jesus. Today, Jesus, I want it done today. It's today, it's right now. I need you, Jesus." Has there ever been a time in your life when you needed Jesus to show up right now? Well, at least you thought it was right now. And somehow, Jesus had the nerve to take his time. Martha sent a message to Jesus, which would have taken a little bit of time back then. Somebody would have had to go on foot and come back. And can you imagine the look in Mary and Martha's faces? These are the people who looked after Jesus, who showed incredible hospitality to Jesus, who Jesus called his friends. But can you imagine the look on their faces when the messenger came back without Jesus? You see, today we would have just called him, sent him a text, WhatsApped him or snapped him. And I love the way she puts the message, "The one you love is sick." See, there's a small bit of manipulation. The one you love is sick. Not the one who loves you. But let's put it that way. Yes, Mary, let's put it that way. The one you love is sick. That should encourage him to come quickly. So when the messenger comes back without Jesus, it's like, "Yeah, I know he's seen my missed call. I can see he's seen my WhatsApp message. I know he's opened the snap. So why is he taking his time in responding? Mary, has he opened your message? What's he playing at?" We all have sent a message to someone and they didn't respond when we needed them to respond. "Yeah, I know they've read my message. Why haven't they replied? I can see the ticks have gone blue in my WhatsApp. Why the heck have they not replied? They should have replied by now." "Jesus, the one you love is sick. Jesus, I'm depressed. Jesus, I'm lonely right now. Jesus, the storm is raging in my life. Jesus, I need you to step in right now." And Jesus didn't reply for 2 more days. Have you ever felt God has not responded in time to your message? Have you ever prayed a prayer that was left unread? Have you ever prayed a prayer that you felt came straight back to you? and God didn't reply when you expected him to reply? Because he loves you. Not because he was busy, but because he loved you so much that he didn't come. Faith is not a means of manipulation. It's a patience with mystery. Try praying for patience, see what God sends you. Because let me tell you, it won't be patience, but you'll get many opportunities to be patient. You'll find yourself in those circumstances where all is going on around you and you just want to lose your head, but God is trying to teach you patience. Or a time where you want courage. God is not going to give you courage, but he's going to give you opportunities to be courageous in. Many have been praying for faith, for courage, and we look around us today, and we are living in a time that calls us to be faithful, that calls us to be courageous. So Mary and Martha sent word that Lazarus was sick. This isn't somebody that Jesus had never heard of. This isn't just some regular person. This is his friend. This is Lazarus, and he is sick. And isn't it funny in times of distress, in times of difficulty, how we expect heaven to drop everything and move right away when we pray? But the Bible tells us in Isaiah 55, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways are my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Can I submit to you that maybe, just maybe, God is allowing certain events in your life because maybe you prayed for something like patience? Jesus gets word that his friend is sick, yet the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, and that God might be glorified through it. Jesus turns to disciples and says, "Our friend is asleep." No, Lazarus is dead. And this confused the disciples. "But didn't you say the sickness was not unto death? Now you're saying he's asleep. Now he is dead. Which is it, Jesus? Is he asleep or is he dead? You're confusing us here." And don't you love how the disciples responded when Jesus said he was asleep? You know, if he's sleeping, simply send someone to wake him up. Remember, Jesus didn't pick the scholars or the rabbis of his time to be his disciples. He picked the fishermen, the tax collectors, simple men who led simple lives. So when Jesus said he's asleep, they thought, best leave him sleep. If he's sleeping, that will help him get better. So Jesus gives it to him plain and simple. He says, he's dead. And I'm happy for your sake, so now you are going to believe. Jesus wants to show them who had power over death. And the word of God still has power over every circumstances. You may think you have information that dispute the truth, but information and the truth are not the same. You may have got some information from your doctor that is not good, but the truth is in Isaiah, by his stripes you are already healed. So let's start speaking the truth. Because Jesus is the word. He declared the truth and spoke what was going to be. This sickness is not unto death. The Bible makes it clear that our words create power. We learn in the book of Genesis that the world was formed by the spoken word. Everything in the world was spoken into existence. The world was created by the spoken word of God, and the words we speak carry creative power in every moment of our lives. Proverbs 18:21 tells us, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Those who love it will eat its fruit." Jesus says, "This sickness is not unto death," and those words went straight to where they put Lazarus and hovered over the tomb. Jesus knew the power of his word. That's why he stayed 2 more days. If Jesus said it, you can be sure of it. If you ever got a promise from God, you need to be sure of it. And I don't care if you're 8 years old or 88 years old. If God spoke it, it has to come to pass while you're alive. If God said, you're going to see it in the world, because God is not done with what he has declared over you. And I encourage you to get ready for some new things in God. Get ready to encounter new places. Get ready to encounter new people. Get ready to encounter new experiences. Are you ready to watch God do the supernatural, impossible, abundantly, above all that you could ever ask for? Jesus was able to speak the end at the beginning. because he is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and he is the end. So it doesn't matter what happens in the middle. The devil always comes after when the word has been spoken and he tries to come and mess you up. Your book has already been written, but the devil likes to come and mess with you, try to rob you of your hope. Hoping you will take his messing is a sign of disapproval from God, but in fact all it can do is give you a testimony to the test you've been going through, so God will be glorified. The devil can read your story, but he can't write your story. Because your story was written by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the name above all other names. How many know that once you're moving in your God-given purpose toward your destiny, the enemy comes, discouragement comes, and it seems like all kinds of drama breaks out closer you are to a breakthrough. And right now, let me tell you, you are in the middle of a breakthrough. You're in the middle of a miracle moment. You can know a miracle moment by the level of opposition to the thing you are moving towards. So if you've any opposition in your life right now, do not think that is God saying stop. It is God saying keep going, keep moving forward, push a little harder, because no matter what has happened, it is in the past and it isn't over, because obedience brings the miracle. Jesus said, "This sickness was not unto death," and waited 2 more days and headed to Bethany. When he got there, Mary and Martha at the house, one of the sisters comes out and the other stays inside. Martha says, "If you were here, my brother would not have died." And Mary's in the kitchen, possibly with an attitude, "I'm not coming outside. You knew what we were going through. You knew we were struggling, Jesus. You knew he was sick and you had the gall and you waited 2 more days and now my brother isn't dead. We already had the wake. There's no food left. There are no more sandwiches. We're all out of Ribena and biscuits. Just go away and leave me be." Then Jesus interrupts and he says, "Where have you laid him?" I want you to know that the thing you've been believing God for, the thing you've given up on, the thing that looks dead, I want you to hear in your spirit Jesus asking you, "Where have you laid it? That dream, where is it? That vision, where is it? Where have you laid it?" Each and every one of us has been given a calling, a purpose, a gift. And you're a solution to a problem in this world, so it means that if you don't do it, it won't get done. It is time for you to rediscover your purpose and bring it before God. "Lord, this is where I laid it. I thought it was over. I thought it could never happen again. But I declare to you right now, Jesus has the power to resurrect it. Hear Jesus say to you as he said to Martha, 'I am the resurrection.'" God has the power to breathe life into it. It is time for you to get the word into you and begin to declare it over the thing you thought could never be resurrected. Where have you laid him? Now, at this stage, he is 4 days dead. It's over. They already buried him. Jesus says, "Show me where you've laid him," and says, "Roll the stone away." Now, the word stone used here in the Greek would translate in the Hebrew to tablet, which would represent the law. The law would say it's over. The law would say that the high priest, who is Jesus, was not allowed to touch dead things, so he couldn't go near. But Jesus didn't have to. He just needs to get close enough so his voice could echo into the tomb. "Remove the stone." And many people in that crowd would have said, "He's crazy. I can't believe he's getting involved. He can remove his own stone. Doesn't realise he's been dead 4 days. Can you imagine the smell? The body has started decaying." You have to do your bit in any miracle. The leper had to stretch out his hand. The servants had to fill the ceremonial jars. The paralysed man had to take up his mat. The miracle is at the end of obedience. Remove the stone. "But Jesus," Martha responds, because she is embarrassed. She didn't want to expose what was inside. "I don't want anybody to see this. I don't want anybody to know this. I don't want anybody to see what is really going on in my heart." But until the moment where you open yourself to the possibility that God can do it, your heart is a closed tomb keeping dead things in. Then Jesus says in verse 40, they took the stone away. Jesus had sent the word ahead. It was already hovering in that place, and they removed the stone. Jesus agreed with the word he had already spoken. He said, "Thank you, Father, for hearing this prayer." Now, there's something in this that why there's 4 days. The Jews believed that the spirit could return to the body after 3 days. So when on the fourth day, they knew he was completely dead. Jesus waited those 2 days. He came on the fourth day. The body started decaying. The stone has been rolled back, and Jesus gave thanks and agreed with his Father. And he calls out, "Lazarus, come forth." Jesus spoke to Lazarus directly, and we know why. Because in the grave, if he had just said, "Come forth," every dead thing would have come out. So I want you to know that Jesus is specific with your miracle. He knows who you are, where you are, and what you are going through. And the plan of God cannot be stopped by situations. So as we come to an end, I want to end with 4 days dead when Lazarus walked out of the tomb. Verse 44 says, "The man who had died came out, and his hands and feet bound with linen strips and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, 'Unbind him and let him go.'" Let me tell you, we all walk around with bindings on. We all walk around with strips wrapped around the areas of life that don't allow us to move, that don't allow us to live the life that God has for us. We walk around with a cloth over our face sometimes, unwilling or unable to see the life that God has for us. Jesus comes into this situation. He says, "Loose him. Take the coverings off your face. You do what you can do, and I will do what I can do. Because I am the resurrection. I am the life." God is not done with you. It isn't over. It's just the beginning. Today, God is calling you to hear the word of the Lord. "Lazarus, come forth." With every head bowed and every eye closed, let's pray. Sometimes we struggle to have the faith we need to depend on you, God. Today, help us overcome our unbelief. Time after time, you've shown your faithfulness. Today, Lord, help us to walk by faith and not by sight. Help us to understand the fact that you hear our prayers and that we may have to wait 2 more days. You are Jehovah Shammah, which means the Lord is there. And I want to encourage all who are listening that whatever you're going through, be it sickness, depression, addiction, anxiety, loneliness, the Lord our God is there with you. Call out to the name of Jesus, whose name is above all names. Call out and place your trust, your life into the hands of the one who is the resurrection of the light and the life. Father God, you've heard our prayers, both spoken and unspoken. We lay them now at the foot of your throne, and we thank you for hearing us. And now may the Lord make you uncomfortable and keep before you the faces of the hungry, the lonely, the homeless, the widow, the orphan, the rejected and the despised. May the Lord place a burden for the hurt, the wounded, the oppressed, the victims of violence. May God grace you with a burning thirst for righteousness and justice. May the Lord give you courage, strength and compassion to make our world a better world, our community a better community, our church a better church. And may do your best to make it so, and when you've done your best, may God, who makes all things possible, grant you peace. May the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ go with you, wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into your doors. The Lord bless you and keep you. Till next time, this is Ross from Breaking Bread. Let your light shine on. Yeah, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. I'm gonna put
put it on a stand, I won't give up the fight. I'm gonna stand with courage, I won't be discouraged. Gonna stand in the truth and that the truth is knowledge. I am blessed and blessed and blessed to have a love like this, like this, like this. Yes, I am a son of the king, I know that I'm accepted. Have a destiny and I won't be rejected. I want you to feel it, so that is why I say this. I let it out, spit these bars, making God famous. I'ma let it shine, little light of mine. Put the news on a stand and I won't let it hide. So you can come and ask and I will tell the truth. Cause my story stands before you and it's living proof. If he did it for me, then he'll do it for you. He's knocking on the door, so what you gonna do?
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. We'll testify and live my life. The grand design, I believe it. Yeah, you're the reason why. Now I see it. No longer faking, no longer confused. So I give you praise cause I love what you do. Cause you give me something people don't understand. Yep, you know you make me wanna be a better man. I'm gonna go out and talk to your people. Yes, 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 I'm gonna talk to your people. Give them the chance to get up and to hear the truth. And the truth is you're the reason why I'm breathing.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine.
To the nation, are you gonna change your generation? Is it gonna be your motivation? All you gotta do is start a conversation. Do you wanna be sent to the nation? Are you gonna change your generation? Is it gonna be your motivation? All you gotta do is start a conversation.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine.
I'm gonna let it shine.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine.
I'll let it shine.
Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine.